Hello, good morning, church. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Today we continue from where we left off a couple of weeks ago in our sermon series, Knowing God through His names, attributes, titles, and metaphors. Some may wonder why God has so many Hebrew names, so many attributes, titles, and metaphors. But before I answer that question, I'd like to say this week, I find out that there are about 950 names, attributes, titles, and metaphors of God in the Bible. That means I could preach from this series every Sunday for the next 20 years and still not exhaust the list. But I am not going to do that. I am going to preach through these names until I feel in my heart that it's time to move on. But there are so many of these. Back to the question, why does God have so many names, attributes, titles, and metaphors? The reason for that is that God always have another dimension to His character and to who He is. We cannot even begin to scratch the surface. God is so beyond our human understanding, we cannot exhaust Him. So every time, there is always a deeper vision of a revelation about the God we worship. And each dimension reveals a different aspect of His character, His ways, His being, and what He does. So to know His names, attributes, titles, and metaphors is to know God. When you know God and understand the meaning behind His names, attributes, titles, and metaphors, it begins to fill your heart with confidence, courage, and joy unspeakable. It will ignite something that is so powerful in your life. It will change your prayer life. It will dispel your anxieties and strengthen your faith. That's what the power of God can do. Once you begin to know God, you are filled with so much power and passion, you cannot control it. The book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32, which has been our theme scripture for this year, says the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits for the kingdom of God. The key phrase there is knowing your God. You will do exploits for God, not to make a name for yourself, but to advance the kingdom of God. It's all about God and not about us. Now, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible affirms that the people who know their God, who are the chosen generation, who are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, these people will submit themselves to God, and they will in turn resist the enemy and push back on the kingdom of darkness. These are the people that know their God, that are full of the power of the Holy Spirit. They are called the church. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Yahweh Rohi, which means the Lord my God is my shepherd. The Lord my God is my shepherd. But today we move on to yet another Hebrew name of God, Yahweh Tsuri, meaning the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. That is a metaphor. Don't go out there worshiping a rock. I believe that the name or the metaphor, my rock, is a picture-perfect name of God. It epitomizes God's nature and character. As one commentator asserts, the metaphor rock signifies God's ability, God's protection, and God's enduring faithfulness. In the prophets and Psalms, God is described as our rock, which means we can always turn to God when we are in trouble, when we are struggling, and when we are in a crisis. When we are struggling with an infirmity or a sickness, we can find healing and comfort in our rock, the Lord our God. The rock metaphor indicates God as strong, unwavering, steadfast, and dependable. He is not easily moved or shaken, and is a refuge for those in need, those who are in covenant with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we shall find out in our text, the metaphor rock also reflects a fortress image of God as our safety, our stronghold, our protection, our shelter, our refuge, our sanctuary, and our security. So if you came with your Bible this morning, why don't you turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel and chapter number 22. We're going to read verses 1 to 7, where David sang a song to the Lord when he was given victory over his enemies, expressing his gratitude, faith, and trust in God, his rock. So if you find it, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. This is what the Bible says in the New International Version. David sang the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, refuge, and my savior. From violent men you saved me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before his ears, and he rescued me." Now, this scripture passage is almost identical to Psalm 18, verse 2, which says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and he is my place of safety." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And somebody said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The context of our text reveals three major areas in which God gave David deliverance. As you may see, context matters. Every time you're reading the Word of God, be mindful of the context of that scripture. Otherwise, you will get it wrong. So the first setting is God delivering David from the hand of Saul, who sought to kill him after Samuel the prophet went to the house of Jesse and anointed a young boy as king. And from that time, Saul wanted to kill David because he was a threat to his kingdom. And then second, God also gave David victory over his enemies, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Arameans, which is the Assyrians of Damascus, and the Edomites, and if you may add all the ites that David defeated under the mighty hand of God. The last deliverance came when Absalom and Ahithophel, betrayed and rebelled against David. In general, David experienced multiple close calls with death. He experienced the fear of being on the run and pretending to be mentally challenged at Ziklag before the Philistines in order for him to be saved from their wrath. He felt the depression of having his friends and son, his own firstborn son Absalom, turn against him. But he lives and recounts how God has been his rock of protection and strength with great joy. An old Chevy slogan from Bob Seger's song, "Like a Rock," claims that Chevy trucks are robust, reliable, and dependable. Nothing works like a Chevy truck. I knew that some people are not, keen to drive a Chevy. I do. Okay? But some of you drive Hemis and GMCs and all those powerful trucks. That's awesome. But anyway, nothing works like a Chevy truck. I've had this truck for about more than 10 years. Still going. And no big issues. So I'll put my money on a Chevy. Similarly, David, the author of the song we just read, wants us to know, beyond any reasonable shadow of a doubt, that Yahweh is our rock. Meaning, he is robust, reliable, dependable, stable, and a place of protection from our enemies. He is immovable. He is unbreakable. A safe place to retreat to and a fortress in battle. He is our trustworthy source of strength, firm foundation, support, and defense. He is a very present help in times of need, in times of trouble. He is trustworthy. You can call upon his name. That's a privilege, mind you, that you enjoy as a Christian, as a believer. Non-believers cannot call on the name of the Lord the way you do as a Christian, because you are in covenant. When you lift your voice, God hears your prayers. And a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God will come down to your rescue. Because he's Yahweh Tsuri, the Lord, our rock. Nobody is like unto our God. He is an awesome God. The problem is that we don't call upon the name of the Lord. So I encourage you to do that. What do we mean when we say, Yahweh Tsuri, the Lord, is my rock? What exactly are we talking about here? First, it means the Lord is our fortress and savior. He is our deliverer. Verse 2 of our text and our cross reference says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and savior, or my deliverer. This is a bold statement coming from somebody who knows God as a rock. He's very confident. He's very courageous. He knows his God. Do you know your God? Do you know who lives in you? In whose name you exist? Do you know how much power you have as a child of God when you call upon the name of our God, whom you know to be awesome beyond human comprehension and able to do the impossible exceedingly and above that which we may ask or think about, just because he's God? David is a good example. He called upon his God. And let's do likewise. Now, what is a fortress? A fortress is a stronghold or a safe place where we are secure inside, not susceptible to the outside attacks of the enemy, the devil. You see, in the ancient world, a fortress was often massively walled off from the rest of the city, supplied with food, water, and ammunition, where the people could be protected and the city could be defended. David knew that he did not need to fear anything because in God he found a fortress stronger than any attack this world can master or put together. We all have the fortress we run to when we face overwhelming circumstances. These fortresses can take the shape of people or relationships. They can also be material things in our lives that we think will bring happiness and take our minds off our problems. Like David, we should realize that the one true fortress we have is with the one true God. He will always protect and never let us down. Scripture calls God a strong tower of fortress. A strong tower or fortress. The righteous run into this fortress and they are safe. The righteous run into this fortress and they are safe. Since we need to know God as our fortress, because only the people who know their God shall be strong in difficult times and do exploits, resisting the enemy and pushing back on the kingdom of darkness. It's only those people that know their God. They will use God's word as the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Coupled with authoritative prayer, they will stand against the agenda of the forces of evil and push back on the kingdom of darkness in the name of Jesus, the most powerful name there is. Their weapons of warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Now that we know what a fortress is, what about a savior or deliverer? A deliverer or savior is someone who rescues from harm or danger. The word deliverer in Hebrew means to cause to escape or to carry away safely. Scripture says, our God is a deliverer. He causes us to escape and carries us away from danger to safety, just like a mother would do to their child. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, Jesus said, this is how we ought to pray. Lord, lead us not into temptation. And wait for it. But deliver us from evil. God is a deliverer, and he can deliver us from evil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and evil spirits in the heavenlies. In this raging war against Satan and his demons and minions, our God becomes our deliverer from sin, death, and the powers of darkness. We are no match to the kingdom of Satan unless you are a member of the kingdom of God, which Jesus has made possible. By rising from the dead and triumphing over all the powers of darkness and making a public spectacle of them. Remember, you are no match unless Jesus lives in you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is God in us than he who is in the world, which is Satan and his evil kingdom. What do we mean when we say Yahweh Tsuri, the Lord is our rock? Second, it means the Lord is our refuge and horn of salvation and safety. In our text, David says, the Lord is my refuge and safety, my horn of salvation. And then in Psalm 71, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says there, in you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. In times of trouble, we have a refuge from the storms of life. the challenges of this world, which are many. We have a fortress, a place where we can run to and be safe. Safe from risk, danger, and the stress of this world. Remember, in God we live, move, and have our being, and without Him we can do absolutely nothing. Put your faith and your trust in God. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 2, says, God is our refuge and strength, and even an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The key phrase there is that we do not fear because we know on which rock we stand. In my language back home in Zambia, the Bemba, there is an idiom that I'd like to highlight here. It says, when a blind man or a blind person tells you, I am going to throw a stone at you, just know that he or she is standing on the stone. Because if the blind person can't see, how can they pick up a stone and throw it at you? It simply means they're standing on something and they're going to take that thing and throw it at you. That confidence that I am going to do something to you comes from that. And in the same manner, we know that we stand on the rock, Jesus Christ. And because of that, it determines our confidence. It determines our courage. Our boldness comes from what we know the God is able to do above and beyond that which we may ask. What does the statement, God is our refuge, mean? A refuge is a place to flee when storms and enemies come against us. It is a place where we feel protected from anything that might destroy us. When we say that God is our refuge, we mean that God is like a place where we flee when trouble comes. God, therefore, becomes our safety. He becomes our security. And ultimately, God becomes our rest. But that does not mean He may not lead us into a difficult and dangerous situation. However, do not panic. Do not despair. Because even then, His grace is sufficient for you. And His grace will sustain you in tough times. His grace will sustain you in tough times. Many of us tend to run anywhere when in trouble, but God. When things get complicated, we run to idols, family, friends, hobbies, work, money, to relieve the pressure of life. But our first choice should be to run to God, because we know who God is. Lots of people may not know who God is, but you and I know because we have seen and tested the goodness of our God. The Bible says, come see and test that God is good. And we have done that. Now, as we begin our descent here, in verses 5 to 7, David says in his song of praise, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrent of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God from his temple. He heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. In my distress. Have you ever gone through suffering, distress, affliction, despondency, disgruntledness? Have you ever gone through adversity? Did you do what David did here? He remembered his God and he cried out for help. And that's what you need to do. Cry out for help. When I was in Bible school, the Bible school was across a mighty river, one of the biggest rivers in Zambia. And so when you show up on the other side of the river, you would use a cable car to take you across the river so you can go for classes. And all you need to do is climb up there where the cable car is and shout help across the river. And that was as loud as somebody who has a sound system. And so somebody on the other side will come up and push the button so that that cable car can come across the river so you can take it with you across. However, what we needed to do was every time you cross the river, you push the button so that cable car can be ready for somebody who's coming. But what moved my heart was that I called for help and somebody was there to respond. And when you call for help as a child of God, somebody hears you and he sends help. It might be angels. It might be God himself showing up by his grace through the power of the Holy Spirit. But remember, you have to call for help. Otherwise, nobody will push that button for you. I know God is all-knowing, but he wants you to shout for help. So if we were to learn one thing from the life of David, it will be this. Call upon our rock when in trouble. Inquire of God in prayer. Cry out to him for help. Seek him while he may be found. And humbly rely upon God. The Bible says, seek God when he can be found. And if you seek God with all your heart, you will find him. That's a promise. If you seek God with all your heart, you will find him. God is worthy of praise. He is the rock and fortress that can be relied upon and trusted and will come to our aid against our enemies. You can trust God in your fears, concerns, anxieties, and worries. Run to him and find a place of refuge and safety. Excuse me. Now, here's a question for you. Would you call upon God today or tomorrow or next week? Would you call upon God when you find yourself in trouble? Would you lay at his feet all your burdens and concerns, all your anxieties and your problems, and ask God to send help against your trials and tribulation? Would you, like David, declare the greatness of our God, who's worthy to be praised? Will you? We'll find out. God says in Psalm 50, verse 15, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. He said, call on me in times of trouble. I will deliver you. And guess what? You will honor me. You will praise me. You will glorify my name. What does the Lord is my horn of salvation mean? In the Old Testament, horns are symbols of strength, power, and victory. In Luke chapter 1, verse 69, Zechariah praises God that he has raised a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. In this case, the horn of salvation is a reference to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the mighty deliverer and king who was soon to be born. I'll leave it at that. What do we mean when we say Yahweh Tsuri, the Lord is my rock? This is our last point. It means that Yahweh Tsuri is our shield and protection. David says that God is his shield and protection. A shield is a protective armor against an attack of an enemy. God is not only a rock for refuge, but he is also our shield of protection. This means that not only will he fight for you, but he will watch over your life. David experienced God's protection from his enemies and called God his shield. And throughout the scriptures, we see God's defense of his faithful ones. He comes to fight for them. He fights for the weak. He fights for the vulnerable, for the widow and the orphans, and the wounded. He fights for them. He defends them. He stands for them. And we should also stand for the weak, the vulnerable, and the weak among us. I mean those who are wounded because of life. So do not despair. God will protect you from your enemies and help you in times of trouble. I repeat, have faith in God. In closing, may I invite you to learn to pray the names of God, especially Yahweh Tsuri, our rock. When you pray God's names, you are declaring the truth of who God is, and you are proclaiming his power at work in your life. And when you pray to Yahweh Tsuri, you are praying to the God who can always be counted on. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His plans and purposes remain firm throughout history. He is a powerful God beyond human description. The New Testament identifies Jesus as the spiritual rock that accompanied the children of Israel during the long walk through the desert. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Jesus is also described as the stone the builders rejected. But he has become our hope of glory and the chief cornerstone of our church. How many of you remember the old hymn? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. all other ground is sinking sand. Perhaps you are here this morning and not standing on the solid rock of Jesus. You can do that today by trusting God for your salvation and believing in His Son who died for our sins. He is our Savior, our Deliverer, our refuge, and our stronghold. He is a solid rock, sure and steadfast. And if you put your faith and trust in this God through Christ, you will never be disappointed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the preaching of your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings conviction, that empowers us to live for Christ in this world where we go through ups and downs, difficulties, where we suffer affliction and persecution. Our prayer is that we may stand on Christ, the solid rock, the unmovable rock, sure and steadfast. Help us to put our faith and our trust in Him, to live for Him, even when the going gets tough. We pray that you may teach us to inquire of you, to call for help in times of trouble. For you are indeed a very present help in times of need. Give us the courage. Give us the audacity that we need to confront the kingdom of darkness, knowing that if God be on our side, nothing can be against us. Our prayer is that we may live this word out and not be hearers only. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit go before each one of us as we part company, because we ask it in the mighty, marvelous, and worthy name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen.